Welcome to the Forgotten Narrator. All right, let's talk about something the Imperium would rather you never knew existed. We all love to get lost in the grand battles of Warhammer 40K, the heroic Space Marines, the ancient Necrons, the unstoppable Tyranids. But behind the glory, behind the fire and fury of the Imperium's endless wars, there are places so dark, so utterly forsaken, that even the Administratum dares not speak their names. Worlds that have been forgotten, or maybe purposefully erased. Planets where civilization didn't fall because of some grand invasion or chaos uprising, but simply because the Imperium stopped watching and hunger took over. These are the cannibal planets of the Imperium, places where starvation and desperation spiraled into something unspeakable, where human flesh became the only currency left. Some of these stories come to us as rumors passed between void ship crews. Others are hidden deep within the Inquisition's blacked-out records, buried so thoroughly you'd think they never existed. But if you listen carefully, if you know where to look, you'll start to see the pattern. And what you find might just change how you view the Imperium of Man forever. You won't find the term cannibal planets in any official Imperial lexicon or data slate. It's not something that pops up in Codex entries or is referenced in the pages of the Munitorum's planetary reports. And yet, among the fanbase, especially those of us who dig deep into the more obscure corners of the lore, it's a term that's grown teeth. Cannibal planets has become a kind of grim shorthand for those forgotten worlds where survival has crossed every line of human decency, where the last option left was the unthinkable. It's an unofficial name for a very real phenomenon, whispered about in old White Dwarf articles, hinted at in offhand lines of Black Library novels, and debated endlessly on forums that treat Warhammer like sacred scripture. The term started as a kind of joke. Back in the day, before every single thing in the Imperium was cataloged and cross-referenced by wiki pages, there were throwaway lines in campaign books and old RPG modules. Stuff like Lost Hive World, Population Status Unknown, or Planetary Rebellion led to widespread collapse, population now feral. And some fans, those with darker imaginations, began to connect the dots. Feral in the Imperium doesn't mean loincloths and sticks. It can mean entire generations that grew up in total ruin, reduced to instinct. The idea that these lost populations might have turned on each other, eaten each other, to survive? Well, it was too compelling not to explore. Some trace the roots of the term back to the early White Dwarf magazines from the 1980s and 90s. There were short story snippets and campaign suggestions that hinted at collapsed agri-worlds or isolated colonies that had gone completely off the grid. One especially chilling mention describes a planet struck by warp storms so severe that no resupply ships arrived for over 200 years. The survivors, cut off and forgotten, developed unorthodox methods of sustenance. That was all the text said. But for many readers, the implication was loud and clear. This wasn't just about eating Grok's meat past its expiry date. This was about humans eating humans. Then came the rise of fan fiction, forums, and lore channels. And let me tell you, Warhammer fans are some of the most creative and twisted people you'll ever meet. We started building whole narratives around these hypothetical worlds. What would a society look like after 3 centuries of isolation and cannibalism? What would their religion become? How would they justify the practice to their children, to themselves? The more people asked these questions, the more the term cannibal planet stuck. It wasn't just a label anymore. It was a storytelling device, a way to explore one of the Imperium's darkest possible outcomes. There are also vague hints in official works that fuel the fire. Dan Abnett's Gaunt's Ghosts novels touch on hives that have been so thoroughly bombed and abandoned that survivors turn to things like corpse starch. Not quite cannibalism, but pretty damn close. In Dark Heresy, the role-playing game, there are encounters with feral humans on dead worlds, described as tribal, aggressive, and entirely carnivorous. Again, nothing direct, but the implication is heavy. In many ways, the lore of Warhammer thrives on these implications. It gives you just enough rope to hang your imagination with. Another piece of the puzzle comes from the Inquisition's use of erasure. You see, in a universe like Warhammer, what you don't see often tells you more than what you do. Entire planets vanish from Imperial records. Sometimes they're purged through Exterminatus, Sometimes they're lost due to bureaucratic oversight, and sometimes they're simply omitted. It's the idea that the administratum doesn't want you to know what happened there, not because it was an invasion or a chaos incursion, but because the truth is mundane and horrifying. A planet, once loyal, once proud, fell to starvation, madness, and then something far worse. Not because of war, but because of neglect. Among fans, there's this theory that the administratum has a silent category for these planets. Worlds where something shameful occurred. Something that doesn't warrant an orbital strike, but is too embarrassing to admit. Maybe the supply chains failed. Maybe the tithes were too much. Maybe a miscalculation turned a thriving world into a nightmare. So the administratum does what it always does when the numbers don't add up. It hides the evidence. These planets are either buried in red tape or literally erased. And yet stories persist. A trader swears he saw a derelict hive with smoke rising. A rogue trader returns with a hold full of bones and a haunted look in his eyes. Bits and pieces that slip through the cracks and become legend. In a way, Cannibal Planet has become our term for confronting a very uncomfortable truth about the Imperium. It's not about chaos or Xenos or heresy. It's about humanity, stripped bare. About what happens when you take a society, subject it to the worst conditions imaginable, and then walk away. It's not that these worlds rebelled or were punished, they simply decayed. And in that decay, they became something unrecognizable. Something the Imperium refuses to acknowledge, because doing so would mean admitting failure. So when we say Cannibal Planet, we're not just talking about horror stories. We're talking about the spaces between the lines of official lore. The consequences of an empire that's too large to care, too bureaucratic to fix its own mistakes. And maybe most chilling of all, we're talking about the places where humanity survives, not because of the Imperium, but in spite of it. No planet wakes up one day and decides to start eating itself. That's the part that really gets under my skin. How slow and quiet the rot begins. It doesn't take a grand catastrophe, no demonic incursion or full-scale orc invasion. Sometimes all it takes is silence, a few missed shipments, a few centuries of being forgotten. And then the spiral begins. If you've read enough Imperial archives, or at least tried to, through the blackout ink, you start to see the same pattern repeat. A thriving colony, a bustling hive, a productive agri-world. And then, something happens. Something small by galactic standards. But when you're just one speck among a million worlds, small is all it takes. One of the biggest culprits is isolation. It's almost absurd how easy it is for a planet to be cut off in the Imperium. You'd think with all the technology and starships there'd be some kind of redundancy, right? But no. The Imperium relies on astrotelepathy, on navigators interpreting the hellscape of the warp, and on ancient, barely understood systems to chart paths between stars. Warp storms shift, a beacon goes dark, a navigator dies without replacement, and boom, a whole sector might vanish from the map. Some of these disruptions can last decades, even centuries. And during that time, a planet that depends on off-world food imports, Medicaid supplies, or even water reclamation parts is left to fend for itself. It's not always dramatic, sometimes it's just slow starvation. Think of a hive world with 10 billion people and not enough internal agriculture to sustain a tenth of that. For them, every shipment is lifeblood. So when that blood stops flowing, the body turns on itself. We have records, well, fragments, of planets where people turn to corpse starch processing. That's already grim, but sustainable. But what happens when even the corpses run out? When the population has ballooned beyond reason and all that's left is hunger. Another fan theory I love, but also hate because it feels too plausible, is about bureaucratic miscalculation. The administratum is this bloated ancient beast, managing thousands of star systems through layers and layers of outdated paperwork. A clerk in a hive somewhere misfiles a planetary request or flags a planet as low priority. Maybe a cogitator crashes and deletes a tithe status. That's it. A thriving world stops receiving shipments. No one notices. Or worse, someone notices and stamps it with a standard resource-depleted tag without even checking. That one seal could doom billions. And because it's all so slow and impersonal, there's no outrage, no rebellion. Just hunger that builds and builds and builds until desperation snaps the social order in half. And then there's the warp itself. That terrifying, chaotic ocean that swallows void ships whole and shreds planets out of time. Warp storms are more than just bad weather. They're the ultimate eraser. If a planet is unlucky enough to be surrounded by unstable warp tides, it can be rendered completely unreachable. Not destroyed, just inaccessible. Supply routes vanish, communication dies. For the Imperium, it's often easier to just reroute tides than to try and save a world behind warp disturbances. Some fans believe that there are hundreds, maybe thousands of planets in this state right now. Not dead. Just waiting. Eating each other in the dark. Even on a planet still technically in contact with the Imperium, collapse can come from within. Ecological failure, for one. An agri-world overworked to the point of sterility, where the soil turns to dust and the sky chokes on pollution. Or maybe the planet was terraformed badly, and after a few thousand years the climate begins to unravel. These aren't dramatic, lore-breaking ideas, they're in line with everything we know about the way the Imperium works. Use everything until it breaks, then move on. But what happens when you can't move on? When your population is still there, still growing, still hungry? A lot of fans point to overpopulation as a core issue. And yeah, we all know that hive worlds are comically overcrowded, levels upon levels of humanity stacked like cordwood. But imagine what happens when a power grid fails for a few weeks, or when a food supply line is compromised. That kind of density turns into panic almost instantly. Riots, looting, collapse of law enforcement. And after the first wave of violence, when the smoke clears, what's left are the survivors. Not soldiers. Not leaders. Just the ones willing to do anything to live. And when nothing else is left to eat, they look at each other. There's a brutal simplicity to how fast things fall apart. You don't need chaos, you don't need Xenos, you just need enough people and not enough food. And once that line is crossed, once someone kills and consumes another human to survive, society doesn't just recover, it mutates. Cannibalism stops being a shameful secret and becomes an unspoken system. Don't ask where the meat comes from turns into, don't be the last one to eat. People start rationalizing. They develop rules, rituals. Maybe they convince themselves it's what the emperor would want, to recycle the flesh of the faithful. Maybe it becomes holy. Or maybe they just stop caring. At that point, does it even matter? Some believe the Inquisition knows about many of these worlds and just chooses not to act. They're not heretical, strictly speaking. Not chaos-worshipping cults. Just desperate people, doing what they must. And so long as they don't interfere with tides or attract unwanted attention, the Imperium might see them as salvageable. Others argue the opposite, that the moment a planet resorts to cannibalism, it's marked for eventual purging. But with how slow the machinery of the Imperium moves, eventual could mean generations. That's plenty of time for an entire culture to evolve around blood and bone. I think the saddest part is that we'll never know the full truth. These planets aren't recorded. They're forgotten on purpose, which means their stories survive only in fragments, through whispered tales and lost logs. And in the end, it's not the monsters from the warp or the alien hordes that haunt me most. It's the idea of a hive once filled with laughter and light, reduced to a hollow tomb where the only law is hunger. Where civilization didn't explode, it just rotted. Quietly, completely, and no one came to help. There's something uniquely tragic about how easily the Imperium forgets its own. Billions of souls can be wiped from the ledger with a single failed data entry, a mistimed warp jump, or a clerk ticking the wrong box in a tower of cogitator systems somewhere in Terra's crust. When we talk about what turns a world into a cannibal planet, it's not always some hellish invasion or a grand betrayal. Sometimes it's just the quiet, grinding weight of neglect, like watching a candle go out because no one remembered to refill the oil. One of the most immediate causes is isolation, and I don't mean philosophical isolation, but literal, starless abandonment. The galaxy is a graveyard of warp storms, and when a planet slips into one of these unnatural tides, that's it. No ships in, no signals out. Sometimes it's temporary, years, maybe a century or two. Other times the storms last so long that the people on those planets forget there was ever a wider galaxy. And the worst part? The Imperium accepts that. It's baked into their doctrine. If a world is cut off by warp tides, it's just written off. Maybe they'll send someone eventually. Maybe not. There are fan discussions about entire sectors that have been lost like that, vanished into the warp's embrace, and by the time the storms cleared, what came back wasn't human anymore. There's even an old theory floating around that some cannibal worlds were once missionary colonies. They were supposed to spread the light of the Emperor, but once supply lines failed and the mission became a struggle for survival, those sermons turned into ration lists, and then into something far darker. Faith curdled into ritual. And when people say they eat the flesh of the faithful to honor the Emperor, well, maybe they believe that. Maybe that's all they had left to believe. The administratum doesn't help. That mountain of rotting parchment and overworked scribes is less a governing body and more of a barely functioning memory bank. And when you're managing a million worlds, what's one or two more vanishing under the radar? Mistakes aren't just possible, they're inevitable. Maybe a hive world reports famine and population collapse, but the request for aid gets misfiled as a routine tithe adjustment. Maybe a planet fails to meet its quota one year, and rather than investigate, the Munitorum assumes rebellion or incompetence and sanctions them into further ruin. It's not malice, it's apathy on a scale so massive it becomes monstrous. One of the more sobering ideas fans talk about is what happens when a planet's tithe exceeds its sustainability. The Imperium doesn't care if you have enough to feed your people. If your quota is to deliver 10,000 tons of grain, you deliver it, even if it means exporting your last harvest. And what do you think happens after a few cycles like that? Hunger doesn't just appear, it digs in. Whole classes begin to vanish. First the underhivers, then the weak, then the ones no one will miss. And that's where the moral collapse begins. Cannibalism doesn't start with society. It starts in the shadows, in the alleys, in the whispers. There are stories, half-truths, maybe, that sometimes planets are deliberately left to die. Not because they're traitors, but because saving them would cost more than they're worth. Imagine you're a Lord Sector governor. You've got limited void ships, limited troops, limited everything. A planet sends out a distress call. Ecological collapse, mass starvation, riots in the streets. But it's a low-tier planet, not particularly valuable. Meanwhile, another world is producing lasguns or promethium. Who do you save? Who gets the fleet? Who gets the food? And just like that, a decision is made, not with malice, but with cold imperial logic. One world burns so that another might continue to smolder. Let's not forget what warp travel actually means. It's not reliable. It's not clean. A ship could launch today and arrive 50 years later, or before it even left. Communication lags behind time itself. That's why isolation creeps up slowly. It starts with a missed message, then a supply delay, then silence. And by the time someone realizes that a planet hasn't sent a tithe report in over a century, there might not be a planet left to check on. Only a void-scarred rock with strange signals and a population that no longer considers themselves Imperial citizens, just survivors. And that change, that fracture of identity, is sometimes what pushes people over the edge. Once you stop thinking of yourself as part of the Imperium, the old rules don't apply. There's something poetic and horrifying about how resource scarcity works in Warhammer. It's not just about food. It's about everything. Medicine, tools, clothing. When a hive city's infrastructure begins to collapse, people don't just go hungry. They get sick. They die from simple infections. And when the Medicaid centers stop functioning, when corpse processing plants shut down, the dead pile up. And someone, somewhere, looks at a bloated corpse and thinks, why waste it? It's not evil. It's desperation. And desperation doesn't follow the rules of civilized behavior. It rewrites them. Some fans talk about the idea of cultural cannibalism becoming systemic. Not just acts of madness, but institutions. Flesh quotas. Ritualized drawings to determine who is consumed next. Like a twisted mirror of the Imperial tithe, but internalized. Instead of exporting grain or ore, they reallocate bodies. And because of the trauma, the starvation, the long years of horror, they don't see it as wrong. They see it as duty. As sacrifice. That's the darkest part. When the system becomes part of the culture, when children grow up thinking this is normal, that this is just what humans do when they're alone in the dark. And what really haunts me is that most of these worlds probably didn't start out weak. They were functional. Maybe even proud. But the Imperium doesn't reward competence. It drains it. And once a world is used up, bled dry, and can no longer serve its purpose, it's left to rot, forgotten. And sometimes in that rot, something keeps moving. Something human, but no longer quite, right? That's what makes cannibal planets so terrifying. Not that they exist, but that they were made. Not by chaos, not by aliens, but by the very system that was supposed to protect them. You know what really sticks with me more than anything else? It's not the horror of cannibalism itself. It's not even the thought of entire hives turning into feeding grounds, or the eerie silence of a dead agri-world stripped clean of life. No, what keeps me up at night is the sheer, colossal indifference of the Imperium. These worlds don't fall because of some unstoppable force. They fall because no one cares. Because the machine that is supposed to hold everything together is too massive, too rusted, and too self-absorbed to even notice the screaming. The Administratum is, in theory, the heart of imperial governance. It's responsible for maintaining order, tracking tithes, monitoring planetary status, deploying resources. But in practice, it's like a haunted library with no exits. Just endless stacks of paper, cogitators running on prayers and incense, and millions of scribes who spend their entire lives updating forms that haven't changed in 10,000 years. I'm not exaggerating. There are actual documented instances of petitions for aid taking over a century to be reviewed. A century. That means a planet could be in crisis, begging for help, and the request might not even get read until everyone who sent it is already dead. It's hard to describe just how broken the system is without sounding dramatic, but that's the thing. The bureaucracy of the Imperium is dramatic. It's a parody of order. You've got planets that haven't seen a representative of the Administratum in generations, whole sectors governed by outdated charts and forgotten wars. And in the middle of all this chaos, some poor backwater planet starts to collapse. The signs are there: declining tithe yields, missing transmissions, maybe even a few distress signals. But when those reports reach the Administratum, if they ever do, they're not read by someone who cares. They're processed by someone who's balancing 500 other crises, someone who doesn't know the name of the world, someone who might be more concerned about avoiding mistakes than saving lives. There's a theory that circulates in lore circles, half joke, half truth, that the Administratum operates like a plague. Not because it spreads death, but because once it touches something, that thing is either consumed or forgotten. A world gets flagged as under investigation and is effectively erased from the system until the review is complete. Except, of course, the review might never be completed, because files get lost, departments close, someone dies at their desk, and their workload is reassigned, but only halfway. And while this paper dance continues, the planet spirals. No aid. No supplies, no reinforcement, just silence and hunger. The maddening part is that this isn't the result of malice. It's not a coordinated plan to let these planets suffer. It's neglect made systemic. It's what happens when you build a civilization where loyalty is mandatory, but compassion is optional. The Imperium doesn't reward planets for stability or growth. It only notices them when they fail. And even then, the response is often punitive. A world that fails to meet its tithe might get sanctioned, its governors executed, its remaining resources seized. There's no room for nuance, no understanding that maybe the population starved because the Administratum rerouted food convoys to a more strategic world. No one wants to admit a mistake because admitting failure is heresy. So the easiest path is to bury it all under red tape. Some fans believe there's a whole category of shadow designations. Within the Administratum, worlds that are quietly flagged as unrecoverable, but never officially written off. That way, the paperwork doesn't need to reflect a loss, and no one gets blamed. These are the forgotten planets, the ones where cannibalism becomes culture because the Imperium has already moved on. And because no one dares to check on them, they're free to rot in isolation. Out of sight, out of mind. And the sheer scale of it all makes accountability impossible. When you're dealing with a million worlds, how do you even define failure? If 100 planets fall but 10,000 remain stable, is that success? To the Imperium, maybe. The machine keeps turning, and as long as the output doesn't drop too drastically, the gears are left to grind whatever they must. It's a utilitarian nightmare. Efficiency measured in bodies. Stability measured in silence. There are even hints in the lore, scattered implied that some administratum factions prefer not to investigate these kinds of collapses too closely. Because if you admit that a world fell due to bureaucratic failure, you open the door to blame, to audits, to purges. So instead, they send a vague report to higher command. Non-compliant planet, likely contaminated, recommend containment or redirection of resources. That's it. That's the whole funeral for billions of lives. I remember reading a fanfic years ago, honestly, better written than half the official stuff, about a junior scribe who discovers a request for aid that's been sitting in a cogitator queue for 300 years. The planet is still technically listed as awaiting assessment. The scribe starts digging, finds that the planet is still transmitting automated messages, still hoping someone will answer. He tries to escalate it, files forms, sends memos, and at every turn, he's blocked, not by evil intent, but by process. In the end, he gives up. Not because he doesn't care, but because he realizes that even if he got the clearance, even if he got the resources, the system would never allow it. It was never built to save people. It was built to maintain order. And that's what's so terrifying. The idea that you could be born on a planet, live your entire life, see society crumble, witness unspeakable things, and the galaxy wouldn't even notice. That your world could die in silence because someone in a hive tower on Terra misplaced a form. No heroism. No drama. Just the cold indifference of an empire too vast to care. So when we talk about cannibal planets, we're not just talking about horror stories. We're talking about the inevitable byproduct of a system that punishes weakness and ignores suffering. A machine that values structure over soul. And once you really start to see that, you realize the truth. The Imperium doesn't allow these things to happen. It needs them to. Because in a galaxy ruled by bureaucracy, tragedy is just another acceptable margin of error. If you've ever wondered what life actually looks like on a cannibal world, the answer isn't a sudden descent into madness. It's a slow, excruciating erosion of everything we associate with civilization. One of the most chilling things about these worlds isn't the act of cannibalism itself. It's how it becomes normal. How eating another human being transforms from a desperate final option into a basic fact of survival. It's not about horror anymore. It's about routine. Imagine being born into a place where the food chain ends with you unless you act first. Where the whispers in the dark aren't about ghosts or chaos cults, but about whether the family next door is strong enough to protect what little they have. Or worse, whether they've already eaten someone. On these planets, society doesn't crumble all at once. It mutates. Layer by layer, what used to be taboo becomes tolerated. What used to be unthinkable becomes ritual. And eventually, no one even remembers the line that was crossed, because the line is buried beneath generations of bones. Some fan theories go deep into what the social structure on these worlds might look like. You'd think everything would collapse into chaos, right? But strangely, that's not always the case. People need structure, even in hell. Maybe especially in hell. So what we see in stories and speculative discussions is that many of these societies develop their own twisted hierarchies. There might be warlords or gang chieftains who control access to food, flesh really, through violence or deals. Entire districts could be ruled by flesh barons, distributing meat like currency. And beneath them, workers, butchers, scouts. It becomes an economy, and here's where it gets dark in a way that only the grimdark can truly deliver. These systems work, for a while anyway. They're efficient, brutal but efficient. There's no idealism, no democracy, no grand imperial law. Just exchange and control. You don't get to survive because you're kind or skilled. You survive because you're useful or dangerous or invisible enough to slip through the cracks. On some worlds, it's believed that the people try to hold on to imperial faith, twisting it to fit their new reality. Flesh as sacrament, sacrifice as devotion. There's this theory floating around, a fan idea but a compelling one, that some of these cannibal cults worship the emperor not as a savior, but as a devourer, a god of judgment who consumes the souls of the unworthy. And they model their own survival on that image. They see themselves as the purifiers of a fallen world, selecting who lives and who becomes sustenance. It's terrifying, but it makes a kind of sense when you live surrounded by starvation and silence. What's really disturbing is how children grow up in these places. They don't know anything else. They don't see it as monstrous. If anything, they're taught it's necessary, maybe even righteous. And you start to see customs emerge around it. Games to spot the weakest, lullabies that warn about the dangers of being slow, festivals that might involve ritual killings dressed up as tradition. It's a civilization, in the loosest sense, but one rebuilt around the consumption of its own people. And because the Imperium never comes back, there's nothing to challenge that narrative. No off-world priests to remind them what the Lectitio Divinitatis actually says. No Arbais to enforce Imperial law. Just hunger, and the systems that hunger builds. Some fans speculate that over time, even the language changes. Words like murder or meat become interchangeable. Maybe people refer to the dead not as bodies, but as offerings or shares. The act of eating another human is no longer a crime. It's a form of inheritance, a way to carry someone's strength into yourself. And that belief can be deeply rooted in real cultural practices from ancient human history, warped through desperation and time into something far more sinister. And what about politics? It's there too, in a fashion. Power comes from control, over food, over weapons, over people. Leadership might pass not through elections or appointments, but through challenges. Duels, ambushes, betrayals. If you want to rule, you prove you're the strongest, or at least that you're the most feared. Alliances are forged and broken like bones. Entire bloodlines can be consumed, literally, because one faction wants their stock, their strength, their flesh. It's not political philosophy. It's survivalist calculus. Every decision is made with one question in mind. Will this keep me alive a little longer? Sometimes the ethics of it all gets completely inverted. On these worlds, compassion becomes dangerous. Generosity gets you killed. Mercy is seen as weakness. And the people who hold on to empathy, who try to share or save or help, don't last long. Over time, those traits are weeded out. What's left is a population that doesn't just survive by consuming others. It thrives on it. Not because they want to, but because it's the only thing they've ever known. There's something deeply unnerving in the idea that humans can adapt to this. That the line between horror and habit is thinner than we like to admit. And it makes you wonder. If the roles were reversed, if you were born on one of these forgotten worlds, what would you do to survive? Would you resist? Or would you tell yourself it was only temporary, just this once? Until just once became a way of life. And the worst part? These people aren't chaos cultists. They haven't summoned demons or pledged themselves to the ruinous powers. They're not mutants or heretics or witches. They're just human. Human beings who were left alone for too long. Who learned that in a universe where the Emperor's light doesn't reach, flesh is the only truth that matters. And once you accept that, you stop looking for rescue. You stop praying. You start sharpening your knives. When you start looking for real examples of cannibal worlds, the official lore gets quiet real fast. It's like the Imperium doesn't just erase the planets, it erases the very idea that they existed. But the clues are there, buried in campaign books, old Black Library novels, and the strange silence around certain planetary designations. If you're paying attention, and if you're willing to follow the threads into the darker corners of fan speculation, you'll find that these worlds are not just stories. They're cautionary tales that got too real, too close to the truth the Imperium wants to hide. Take Vervenhive, for instance. Anyone who's read Necropolis by Dan Abnett knows this one. It's not officially labeled a cannibal world, but there's a moment in the story that always stuck with me. During the siege by the Zoican forces, the Hive City collapses into chaos. Supply lines are cut, infrastructure breaks down, and civilians, millions of them, are trapped inside, starving, afraid, and completely abandoned by the wider Imperium. There's a line, almost throwaway, where someone mentions that corpse processing facilities were overwhelmed and unprocessed bodies were piling up. Now, no one comes right out and says what happened next. But if you know Warhammer, you know what that kind of setup leads to. And what really creeps me out is that Necropolis doesn't linger on it. It just moves on, like it's too horrible to even name. That's always been a red flag for me. When the books don't talk about something, that's when you really start to worry. Then there's Roten. This one's more obscure, tucked away in some old Dark Heresy material, and heavily expanded by fan theorists. Roten was once a thriving agri-world, known for its massive protein farms and vat-grown livestock. But during a warp storm event, one that lasted nearly a century, it was completely cut off from the Imperium. When the storms cleared, the planet hadn't gone silent. It had adapted. Too well, in fact. The welcoming party that greeted the recon team wasn't starving. They were strong. Healthy. Too healthy. According to scattered lore and whispered accounts, the locals had taken to cultivating a very particular kind of protein, grown from donors. Living donors. The Inquisition purged the records afterward, but the name Rotan keeps surfacing in certain circles, especially among radical Ordo Xenos acolytes. The idea that a planet could quietly repurpose its population into a self-sustaining food source? That's the stuff of nightmares, but also terrifyingly plausible. Some fans have gone deeper, creating whole lists of planets that disappeared from official charts. Not with a bang, not with exterminatus, but with quiet administrative notes like status pending or under reevaluation. One of the more famous examples is a place unofficially referred to as Hexen's Reach. No official records exist, of course. It's all built on forum theories and pieced together campaign fragments. But the story goes like this. Hexen's Reach was a fringe mining colony known for exporting rare isotopes. It was flagged as non-compliant during the Age of Apostasy and eventually stopped submitting tithes entirely. Instead of retaliation, the administratum just removed it from the rotation. No follow-up, no investigation, just silence. Centuries later, a rogue trader claimed to have passed through the system and found a planet still inhabited, but changed. Primitive, ferocious, and most disturbingly, hostile toward outsiders. The crew reported that the locals had filed their teeth and carried meat hooks as tools of war. The trader never returned, and the system was flagged again, this time with a simple note: navigation hazard. Even the Black Library has dabbled in this idea, though never head-on. The Syaphis Kane novels mention several postings on backwater death worlds where the local population is described as insular and hostile to imperial rule. Now that could mean anything, but again, it's about what's not said. There's one deployment where Kane visits a planet and notes that the locals rarely bury their dead in the traditional sense, and that missing patrols were chalked up to wildlife. Except, no records of wildlife on the planet exist. That's exactly the kind of passive phrasing the Imperium uses when it wants to admit something awful without saying it out loud. You start to see a pattern. Missing people, strange customs, reluctance to investigate. All the signs of a society that's been eating itself, quite literally, for decades. There's also the phenomenon of dead hive worlds. These are planets that still show architectural remnants of massive hive cities, but no trace of the population. No bodies, no records, just empty towers and machinery still running off ancient power grids. Some explorator teams from the Adeptus Mechanicus have supposedly stumbled upon these places and returned, shaken. The official reports cite environmental collapse or plague, but the unofficial ones, if you believe the leaks, talk about hidden rooms, piles of bones, and frescoes painted in blood. Again, nothing conclusive, but the implication is always there, hovering like a shadow no one wants to acknowledge. And then there are the true legends. The stories whispered among voidsmen and scavengers, worlds where the population survives in subterranean vaults lit by failing generators, feeding on cloned meat that is not cloned, or tales of planets that maintain perfect order and productivity even without imperial oversight because they've learned how to recycle their workforce. These are the stories that never make it into codices or novels, but they live in the culture of the fandom. Because deep down, we all know the Imperium is too big, too brutal, and too blind to see what's festering in the cracks. Some fans even believe that cannibal planets are more common than we think, that they exist in every sector, quietly sustaining themselves through horrifying practices hidden by the sheer scale of imperial neglect. And the worst part? The Imperium might know, might allow it. So long as the tithes are paid, so long as the planet doesn't turn to chaos or rebel outright, maybe it doesn't matter what happens to the people on the surface. Maybe survival, no matter how twisted, is seen as loyalty. And that's the real horror of it all. Not the blood or the bones or the ritualistic madness, but the idea that somewhere, right now, there's a planet full of people who've never known another way to live, who think eating the dead is normal, who think they are the lucky ones because at least they survived. because at least they weren't forgotten. There's a certain kind of silence in the Imperium that's louder than anything else. It's not the silence of forgotten signals or dead worlds, those are almost expected. No, I'm talking about that eerie, deliberate absence of information. The planets that don't just die, they vanish. No logs, no history, no mention in the archives. One day they're there, filing tithes, serving the Emperor, and the next, there's smoke, ash, and rumor. And if you start pulling at the threads, if you ask why these places disappeared, you start seeing the words no one wants to say out loud. Exterminate us. Black archives. Redacted histories. Total erasure. Exterminate us is the ultimate final word of the Imperium. The cleansing of a world by virus bomb, cyclonic torpedo, orbital bombardment, you name it. It's the Emperor's way of hitting the reset button. Chaos infestation? Exterminate us. Xeno's corruption? Exterminate us. Civilian population too far gone to save? Well, exterminate us. And here's where the cannibal planets come in. Because sometimes the horror on the surface isn't chaos. It isn't heresy. It's something even more terrifying to the administratum. A failure of humanity so profound, so shameful, that it must be erased completely. Not to protect others, but to protect the myth of imperial strength. The fanbase has long speculated that cannibal worlds aren't just left to rot. Some of them are quietly purged. Not because they're dangerous in the traditional sense, but because their continued existence is a humiliation. A blemish on the grand, golden image of the Imperium. These are worlds where humanity has survived by tearing itself apart, where the only law is hunger and the flesh of your neighbor is the currency of survival. How do you explain that? How do you allow that to exist in a galaxy that claims to be upheld by divine order and loyalty to the God Emperor? You don't. You wipe it out. And you pretend it never happened. What's really wild is how inconsistent the Imperium is about it. Some cannibal planets seem to fester for centuries. Generations of ritualized butchery, societies built on bone, and no one steps in. Others are turned to glass at the first whisper of unsanctioned consumption. It's not policy. It's discretion, which in the Imperium usually means paranoia, political fear, or one inquisitor's personal sense of shame. Maybe a rogue trader stumbles on a world and brings back a report that makes some high-ranking magos blanch. Maybe a distress beacon from a dying astropath slips through the cracks and lands on the desk of someone with authority. And in that moment, the decision is made. This never happened. This was never here. That's where the Black Archives come in. These aren't myth, they're very real. Hidden repositories scattered across Terra, Mars, and key inquisitorial strongholds where records that should not exist are stored. Not destroyed, stored. That's the key detail, because the Imperium is too paranoid to truly erase anything. What if someone needs to know? What if it happens again? So instead, the data is locked away, buried under layers of security, psychic wards, and bureaucratic code. Files that start with words like anomalous sociocultural response or post-collapse degenerative behavior. But we all know what that means. It's a polite way of saying, this planet started eating itself, and we didn't stop it in time. There are rumors that some of the most damning accounts of cannibal planets are held in the Ordo Hereticus vaults, not because they involve heresy, but because they break the illusion. The illusion that the Imperium is always in control. That the Emperor's light reaches all. That humanity only falls when it turns away from faith. A planet that collapses into cannibalism without chaos? Without Xenos? Without rebellion? That's far more terrifying to the powers that be than any demonic incursion. Because it means the Imperium can't keep its promises. It means the machine is rusting from within. One fan theory I've always found compelling is that there are entire fleets, exterminatus task forces, whose sole job is to respond to these human failures. They're not documented. They don't fly the banners of the Imperial Navy. They just move quietly, planet to planet, guided by sealed orders from the Inquisition or the more shadowy branches of the Ecclesiarchy. And when they arrive, there's no trial, no announcement, just fire. The goal isn't punishment, it's cleansing. Not because these people are corrupted, but because they're inconvenient. They remind the Imperium what happens when the gears stop turning. And maybe the most haunting part? The survivors. There are always survivors. People who escape the flames, stowed aboard fleeing ships, carried by rogue voidfarers, or desperate smugglers. people who have seen the end of their world and carry that hunger with them. What do you do with them? Bring them to a new planet and risk contamination? Execute them, even if they're innocent of chaos or treason? Some say the Imperium simply disappears them, locked in labor camps, silenced, erased. You'll never read about that in a codex, but the whispers are everywhere. Lost colonies, disconnected gene patterns, unregistered citizens turning up in penal legions. It's all connected. I think what really makes Exterminatus terrifying in the context of cannibal planets is that it's not always the end of a war. Sometimes, it's the end of a mistake. The final red line drawn across a chapter the Imperium refuses to admit ever existed. And unlike Chaos Worlds or Xeno's threats, there's no pride in these purges. No sermons about cleansing heresy, just a quiet order, a fleet of ships, and a world turned to ash. And then, nothing. The planet is gone from records. The name struck from maps, the logs buried in black archives. And somewhere, a scribe stamps a final page with a note that says, "Subject concluded, no further action required." As if the billions who lived and died there were never real. As if their suffering didn't matter. That's the most terrifying thing about the Imperium. Not the cruelty, not even the violence, but the indifference so absolute that even the worst horrors can be buried under silence and smoke. Sometimes I think the scariest thing about cannibal worlds isn't what happens on the surface, but what happens after. Or rather, what doesn't happen. You'd think with all the eyes the Imperium has, astropaths scanning the stars, inquisitors rooting out heresy, the Adeptus Mechanicus mapping every fluctuation in plasma output, someone would notice these places. Someone would speak, but they don't. And that silence, that long, deliberate silence, that's where the real horror lives. Because there are people who know, people who have seen these worlds, and they choose to say nothing. Let's start with the Inquisition. If there's anyone who should be shouting this from the void, it's them. These are the men and women tasked with uncovering the darkest truths of the galaxy, rooting out treason, heresy, and everything in between. And yet, when it comes to cannibal planets, the Inquisition often takes the opposite route. Not exposure, containment. Some fans theorize that certain Ordo Hereticus and Ordo Xenos cells have entire subsections devoted to human anomalies. And within those, detailed reports of cannibalistic collapse. But they're not shared, they're not circulated. Because the Inquisition isn't about transparency, it's about control. And admitting that human worlds can turn feral, predatory, monstrous, without chaos, destroys the very narrative they're trying to protect. There's also the element of shame. These aren't traitor worlds. They didn't fall to the ruinous powers or open the door to Xeno's infiltration. They just failed. They broke under the weight of starvation and neglect. And that's not something you can purge with fire and call it a day. There's no righteous fury in it. No heretic to burn. Just the realization that the Imperium left its people to rot. And for inquisitors who pride themselves on loyalty and purity, that kind of moral ambiguity is inconvenient. Easier to seal the report, brand the world as non-viable, and move on. Then you've got the rogue traders. If there's anyone who's actually been to these planets, it's them. They travel further than any Navy patrol, slip through warp routes no Chartist captain would dare touch, and operate in the gray zones of Imperial law. And they see things. Worlds lost to time. Systems choked with radio silence. Civilizations that shouldn't exist anymore. And sometimes, ones that shouldn't have kept existing. There are logs, half-leaked onto data slates and message boards, from rogue traders who tell stories of landing on dead worlds with too much biomass, of hives that smelled wrong, of welcoming parties that carried carving knives and wore skin like trophies. But rogue traders are businessmen. They don't make money by telling the truth. If they find a planet that's gone full nightmare, they don't report it, they exploit it. Maybe they salvage tech. Maybe they sell data to the Ordo Xenos for a favor down the line. Or maybe they just mark the system as cursed and avoid it forever. There's no accountability. And because rogue traders operate with near total autonomy, they can erase their own logs if things get too weird. Some fans even believe there's an unspoken code among them. If you find a world that's feeding itself, you don't get involved. You don't ask questions. You leave it to rot. The Adeptus Mechanicus. Now, they're a strange case. If anyone should be cataloging these anomalies, it's them. tech priests live for data. They worship knowledge as sacred. But the Mechanicus doesn't always value human life the way the rest of the Imperium pretends to. If they find a world that's collapsed into cannibalistic survival, their first instinct might not be to help, it might be to study. To isolate variables, to understand how long a population can endure under maximum stress. There are fan theories, especially in the darker corners of the lore community, that some Forge worlds have entire data vaults dedicated to extreme survival models. And yes, that includes autopsy logs, socio-cultural breakdowns, even meat processing efficiency studies. One particularly chilling rumor suggests that some explorator fleets deliberately seek out these failed worlds, not to save them, but to record them. To see what humanity looks like when stripped of everything but hunger, they treat it like a divine experiment, a test of flesh and metal. And once they're done, the planet is marked as biologically unstable, and the Mechanicus moves on, leaving behind nothing but drone logs and scraped gene samples. Nothing to help. Nothing to fix, just data. And here's the thing. This knowledge doesn't make its way into public records because it's never meant to. The Imperium doesn't have open archives or scholarly debate. It has gatekeepers. Information is weaponized, controlled. And when a fact threatens the illusion of stability, even a truth as simple as humans will eat each other if left alone, it gets buried, not just hidden, erased. And that's why you hear about these planets in whispers. In half-remembered fleet logs. In the drunken mutterings of voidsmen who swear they saw something they shouldn't have. Because the official channels are locked down, but people still talk. The truth leaks. Just not enough to change anything. It's frustrating, honestly. Because as fans, we want to believe someone in the Imperium cares. That there are inquisitors who lose sleep over these worlds, magos who regret what they saw, rogue traders who try to warn others, and maybe they do exist. But their voices are drowned out, dismissed, or quietly silenced. Because in the end, what matters to the Imperium isn't truth, it's order. It's compliance. It's keeping the gears grinding, no matter how much blood they need for lubrication. So who knows about the cannibal worlds? The answer is simple. Everyone who needs to. But why don't they speak? Because the truth doesn't feed the machine. And in the grim darkness of the far future, silence isn't just safety. Its policy. There's something especially disturbing about the idea that faith can survive on a cannibal world. Or worse, evolve. You'd expect these places to be godless, stripped of anything but the raw instinct to live. But over and over again, when you dig into the theories, the fragments, the whispered stories, a different picture starts to form. One where belief doesn't die, it adapts. Where the Emperor isn't forgotten but reshaped, transformed by desperation, hunger, and centuries of silence into something that barely resembles the figure we know from Imperial creeds. And somehow, that feels even darker. On many of these worlds, the old hymns and prayers survive, but warped beyond recognition. Some fan interpretations describe cults that worship the Emperor not as a distant, golden savior, but as a devourer, a god who demands flesh and blood as proof of loyalty. In the void left by the ecclesiarchy, people take the scraps of imperial doctrine and twist them into something they can live with. If your child is starving and the only food left is your neighbor, you need something to make that choice feel righteous. And so the doctrine becomes, the emperor provides, the emperor requires, flesh as offering, hunger as trial. One of the more chilling theories I've seen floating around is about the sacrament of continuity. It's not canon. At least, not officially, but it's popped up in enough lore communities to feel like a real possibility. The idea is that when someone dies, their body isn't wasted. It's shared among the community, symbolizing the unbroken chain of survival. The strongest eat first, the children are fed. And the act isn't just accepted, it's holy. A sacrament, the last gift of the faithful. And somewhere, someone always says the same line. He feeds us still. Meaning the emperor. Meaning the dead. It's blasphemous by any standard doctrine, but when you're starving, doctrine gets rewritten fast. There's also talk of entire sects built around ritualized cannibalism. Not just out of necessity, but as a form of judgment. Imagine a society where being eaten isn't just a consequence of dying, but of sin. You fall out of favor with the ruling caste or violate some local taboo, and your punishment is to be rendered into rations. Your death becomes a communal meal. your flesh divided with solemn chants and offerings. Maybe your bones are ground into ash and scattered across the blessed soil, which is really just a euphemism for the corpse pits beneath the hive. It's not cruelty for cruelty's sake, it's order. It's religion, rebuilt from bones and fear. What fascinates me most is how the image of the emperor changes. On Terra, he's the god emperor, radiant and pure, the light of humanity. But on a cannibal world, cut off for generations, that image darkens. They still speak his name, still kneel before crumbling shrines. But he's no longer a protector, he's a test, a force that watches from afar to see who is strong enough to survive. Mercy? That's weakness. Pity? That's betrayal. Only those who endure the hunger are worthy. Some even believe the emperor sends the famine as a divine challenge. And if that's your worldview, then every act of cannibalism isn't just survival, it's obedience. And it's not just the emperor. Other elements of imperial religion mutate as well. Saints are no longer miracle workers or martyrs. They become ancestors who gave themselves to the tribe. Holy relics aren't bones from long-dead heroes. They're knives used in the first butcherings, or skulls inscribed with prayers. I read one fan theory that described a Book of the Hollow Feast, supposedly passed down in oral tradition, filled with hymns and rituals centered around the act of consumption. It speaks of the divine hunger, a force said to reside in every faithful soul, growing stronger the more you endure, the more you take. Whether or not that book ever existed, the idea of it feels true in the way Warhammer truths often do, not real, but absolutely possible. Even moral concepts twist under pressure. On these worlds, the idea of justice becomes transactional. Life is given value based on usefulness, health, or strength. An old man might be revered for his wisdom, until he can no longer contribute. Then he becomes a final gift. Children are protected, nurtured, sometimes even celebrated, but only until food runs too low. Then the logic kicks in. Who can be spared and who must be sacrificed? And when those choices happen over generations, they stop feeling like murder. They become custom, ritual, a rite of passage. And still, through all this, the people pray. That's what breaks me every time. They light candles made from human fat, probably. They chant words passed down from missionaries long dead, never understanding their original meaning. They carve the aquila into flesh, into walls, into bone. But it's not hope they're clinging to. It's structure, ritual. Something to remind them that even in this nightmare, they are part of something. And that sense of belonging, even twisted beyond recognition, is still faith. Still human. There's also speculation that some of these belief systems become so formalized that they rival the ecclesiarchy in complexity. Entire priesthoods formed around flesh quotas, sacred texts encoded in marrow patterns, calendars built on feeding cycles. It's not just religion as comfort, it's religion as governance. As the only thing holding society together when laws and civility are long gone. And in a way, it works. These systems keep people alive. Keep the structure from crumbling completely, even if that structure is made from butchered hope and bones. I think what really drives this home is the idea that these people don't see themselves as fallen. They believe we're the ones who've misunderstood the Emperor's will. That in their suffering, they found clarity, purity, strength. And maybe that's the most terrifying part of all. That in the ruins, they've created a belief system that functions, that keeps them going, that gives meaning to their hunger. And as much as we want to call it heresy, a small, uncomfortable part of me wonders, if I were born there, starving, scared, forgotten, would I believe too? There's a question that always lingers at the edge of these stories, the part no one wants to ask out loud, but that always creeps into the back of your mind after the horror settles. What if the Imperium could use these worlds? What if, instead of writing them off, burning them to ash, or pretending they never existed, the Adeptus Terra found a way to turn all that suffering into something useful? Could cannibal planets be reintegrated? Could they be repurposed, reshaped, folded back into the machinery of the Imperium, not as shameful secrets, but as assets? It's a dark question, but in the grimdark future, that's the kind of thinking that keeps the Imperium running. Let's be honest. Usefulness is the only real currency that matters in the Imperium. If a world produces something valuable, food, weapons, soldiers, fuel, it doesn't matter how twisted its culture is. Purity is optional, efficiency is not. And in some ways, cannibal planets offer the most brutal kind of efficiency. These are populations that have learned to survive without outside help, with no resupply, no guidance, no mercy. They've kept going where others would have died out centuries ago. That alone makes them interesting, at least to certain factions. There are fan theories that suggest some of these planets have been brought back into the fold, not fully, not publicly, but enough to make use of them. The Inquisition might classify them as red-level reclamation zones, or controlled cultural containment worlds. The Ecclesiarchy gets involved just enough to slap some rebranded doctrine over the old cannibal rites, dressing it all up in the language of sacrifice and penance. The Astra Militarum might use the local populations for recruitment, quietly funneling them into penal legions or death corps. After all, what better place to find people who already know how to kill, to obey, to endure the worst? They don't need training. They need a direction. Some whisper that entire regiments have been raised from such worlds, never officially named, just numbered and shipped to the front lines where the meat grinder runs hottest. And maybe they don't talk much. Maybe they keep to themselves. Maybe the officers turn a blind eye when the rations run low and the mess hall smells strange. But they fight. They survive. They don't flinch at horror, because they've lived through worse than any battlefield could offer. And the Imperium loves a good survivor. There's also the possibility, one that feels more real the more you think about it, that the Adeptus Mechanicus sees these planets as living laboratories. Not just curiosities, but test sites. How does a human culture evolve under extreme isolation? How do biological systems adapt when forced to subsist entirely on themselves? For the Magos biologists, a cannibal world isn't a failure, it's data. And data is holy. Some fans believe that there are Mechanicus enclaves hidden within these societies, watching from the shadows, cataloging every ritual, every genetic shift, every social mutation. And maybe they don't intervene. Maybe they make sure not to. Because the longer these worlds exist, the more valuable their transformation becomes. But reintegration isn't always smooth. You can't just drop a fleet on a world that's lived in darkness for 500 years and expect everything to snap back to protocol. These cultures have their own beliefs, their own hierarchies, their own truths. You try to impose imperial creed on a people who think the emperor wants them to consume the dead, and you don't get compliance. You get holy war. So instead, the Imperium sometimes compromises. Quietly, they let the locals keep their customs as long as the tides flow and the heresy doesn't spread. Maybe the rituals are renamed, maybe the bones are ground a little finer, but the machine keeps turning. There's even debate in the lore community about whether some of these worlds are actually encouraged to continue. Not overtly, not officially, but through neglect. A world that feeds itself, governs itself, never rebels, and sends strong, disciplined bodies for the guard. Why fix what isn't broken? Why risk destabilizing it with civilization? The Imperium doesn't deal in moral victories. It deals in numbers. And if the cost of bringing a world back into the fold is higher than the cost of leaving it feral but functional, well, you can guess which path gets chosen. That's not to say reintegration never happens. There are old tales, half myth, half propaganda, of worlds redeemed through the fire of faith. An ecclesiarchal crusade lands, purges the old ways, builds grand cathedrals over the flesh pits, and baptizes the surviving population in flame and scripture. The survivors are broken but remade. The world is declared pure again, its sins burned away. But even in those stories, there's always something uneasy lurking beneath the surface. A sense that the hunger never really left. That the chants echo too closely to the old prayers, that the people are too obedient. And here's the real kicker. Some people in the Imperium want these worlds to exist. They see them as proof that humanity is strong, that it can survive anything, even the collapse of society, even the worst degradations imaginable. They see the cannibal worlds not as shameful, but as glorious examples of the human will. Twisted, yes, but unbroken. And in a galaxy where everything wants you dead, that kind of willpower is worth something. So can the Imperium use these worlds? Absolutely. It already does, quietly, indirectly, hypocritically. Because in the end, nothing in the Imperium is truly wasted. Not even horror. Not even a world built on bones. As long as there's value to be mined, soldiers to be conscripted, flesh to be counted, the machine will find a way to turn suffering into function. It's not redemption. It's not justice. It's just efficiency. And in the grim darkness of the far future, that's the only kind of mercy anyone gets. You know, after everything we've unpacked about cannibal planets, the failure, the silence, the ritual, the survival, there's one more angle I can't stop thinking about. What if these worlds aren't just byproducts of imperial collapse, but warnings? Not in the sense of moral parables or propaganda tales, but actual signals. Coded, grim reminders of where the Imperium is headed if it keeps devouring itself from the inside out. Not a metaphor. A mirror. One the Imperium refuses to look into. Here's the thing. Every time a world falls into this kind of horror, it follows a pattern, a predictable one. First comes the silence, then the hunger, then the restructuring, rituals replacing laws, survival replacing morality, and finally, normalization, people adapting to a reality they never chose. But the scariest part is that this isn't some anomaly, this is systemic. The exact same thing could happen on any planet if just a few things go wrong. And when you really start digging into the structure of the Imperium, it starts to feel like the system is designed to make these failures invisible. Think about it. What defines the Imperium? Isolation, censorship, brutal hierarchy, an obsession with order so intense it actively suppresses problem solving. It punishes initiative, it crushes empathy, it teaches people to accept suffering as divine will. You start to realize that cannibal worlds aren't outliers. They're prototypes. They're what the Imperium would look like if the power cut out and no one noticed. The stripped down version, raw, unfiltered, honest. And when you talk to other fans, especially the ones who live in the lore, not just the battles, you start hearing a lot of the same theories. That the reason the Administratum doesn't act is because it can't. Not really. The machine is too big, too old, and too entrenched to fix itself. So instead, it manages decay. It lets failures fester as long as they don't become contagious. It accepts the cannibal worlds the same way it accepts radiation in hive towers or daily riots in underhives. Not ideal, but manageable. And that word, manageable, is key, because that's all the Imperium ever really aims for. Not improvement, not salvation, just containment. Some even believe that in the darkest corners of the High Lord's chambers, in the sealed vaults beneath Terra, there are predictive models, algorithms older than the heresy, that map the collapse of Imperial society. And in those models, cannibalism is not a failure state. It's a fallback system. The last line of functional civilization when everything else breaks down. You lose access to food, turn inward. You lose governance, build new rules. You lose faith, rewrite it. It's horrifying, but also deeply Warhammer in its logic. Survival at any cost, even the cost of your soul. There's even a theory I've heard tossed around that cannibal worlds are secretly used as stress tests. That Inquisitors or Mechanicus agents observe them to see what cultural systems hold up best under collapse, which belief structures endure, which ones fragment. It sounds insane at first, until you remember that this is the same galaxy where entire populations are mind-wiped for clerical errors, where psykers are harvested like crops, where billions die daily just to keep the lights on. In that context, a few dozen planets left to devour themselves doesn't even register as unethical. It registers as useful data. But maybe the most haunting idea, and this one stuck with me ever since I read it, is that some of these worlds might want to stay forgotten. Imagine generations growing up in that kind of environment, raised on flesh, shaped by ritual, hardened by famine. And then one day, the Imperium returns. A ship lands. A voice crackles through a loudspeaker, promising reintegration, compliance, salvation. What does that even mean to people who've lived their whole lives outside that system? Who've created order out of horror? Do they even want to go back? Or do they see the Imperium as the reason they suffered in the first place? That's where the whole thing breaks your brain. Because these people aren't mindless. They aren't corrupted. They're not even rebels. They're just done. Done hoping. Done praying. Done waiting. And the idea of submitting again to a distant, uncaring god machine might be more terrifying to them than anything their world has become. They've already lost everything. Culture, language, family. They've rebuilt themselves from ash. So maybe they see the Imperium not as salvation, but as regression. As the thing that abandoned them in the first place, it makes you wonder if these worlds are better off left alone. Not because they're pure, not because they're functional, but because dragging them back would only repeat the same cycle. False hope, false order, and then collapse all over again. I'm not saying cannibal planets are noble, they're not. They're horrifying, they're bleak, but they're also human, brutally, undeniably human. In a setting filled with gods and monsters, they are a reminder that the real threat isn't always outside the gates. Sometimes it's the system itself. Sometimes it's the silence, the waiting, the hunger. And maybe that's what the Administratum is really hiding. Not the planets, not the stories, but the pattern. The realization that the galaxy isn't held together by faith or strength or even fear. It's held together by apathy. By the assumption that as long as the tides flow and the stars don't scream too loudly, everything is fine. But it's not fine. It never was. And somewhere, right now, there's another world turning inward. Another society cracking under the weight. Another shrine where the bones of the dead are laid out in neat rows, each one a quiet prayer for help that will never come. And we'll never hear about it. Because that's how the Imperium survives. Not by saving its people, but by forgetting them. One world at a time, one scream at a time, one bite at a time. If that's not the purest form of grimdark, I don't know what is. So what does the Administratum really hide? That's the question we started with. What happens on the cannibal planets of the Imperium, those dark, hollow places the maps forget and the records erase? And after everything we've gone through, after all the broken systems, the silence, the rituals, the bones, the unspoken truths, I think we know the answer. The Imperium doesn't hide these worlds because they're rare. It hides them because they're common. Because they're what happens when a galaxy-sized empire runs on neglect and fear and numbers instead of humanity. These planets are the logical endpoint of everything the Imperium is built on. The Administratum doesn't care if a world falls, as long as the paperwork is in order. It doesn't care if people turn on each other to survive, as long as the tithes are paid. It doesn't care if prayers become chants over bones and the Emperor's name is carved into skulls instead of sung in cathedrals. What it cares about, what it's designed to care about, is order, control, silence. A cannibal planet isn't a crisis to them. It's a self-correcting failure. Something that fell out of alignment, recalibrated itself through horror, and then kept going. That's not heresy. That's just background noise. And that should terrify all of us. Because these aren't chaos worlds. They're not tainted by xenos or cursed by sorcery. They're still human. They still believe in their own way. They still function. And that makes them impossible to justify burning or saving. They exist in this gray space the Imperium refuses to acknowledge. Not evil, just wrong, inconvenient. And the machine doesn't like questions it can't answer with fire. So it erases the file, scrubs the name, sends the data to a vault no one will ever read again. And the world continues, far away alone, chewing on its own legacy. I keep coming back to something that really stuck with me, a fan post I read years ago, buried in an old forum thread. Someone asked, "What do you think life is like on a forgotten world that's turned to cannibalism?" And one of the replies was simple, brutal, and honest. It said, "Probably peaceful, quiet, efficient. They figured out what the Imperium never could, how to live without it." That's what haunts me. Not the screams or the violence, but the calm. The idea that a society could adapt to horror so completely that it doesn't feel like horror anymore. That they could make it work. And if that doesn't keep you up at night, I don't know what will. The truth is, these worlds exist because the Imperium made them. Not deliberately, maybe, but inevitably. They're the result of centuries of mismanagement, of blind faith in systems that no longer serve anyone but themselves. They're what happens when you measure success in quotas and survival in spreadsheets. And they'll keep happening, because the galaxy is too big, and the machine is too slow, and the Emperor, bless him, is too dead to notice. So yeah, the Administratum hides these worlds. But maybe it's not because it wants to deceive us. Maybe it's because it's easier to forget than to fix. Because facing what happened on those planets means admitting the Imperium isn't just a cruel place. It's a broken one. And when you're sitting atop a throne of rust and blood, the last thing you want is to look down and realize how many people it's still crushing. And maybe, in some small sick way, These worlds are honest. They don't pretend anymore. They don't dress up their suffering in banners and processions. They are what the Imperium really is underneath the prayers and gold, ravenous, exhausted, desperate, but still alive, still human, still enduring. And maybe that's the most terrifying and admirable thing of all. Anyway, that's been my deep dive into one of the darkest corners of Warhammer lore. If you stuck around this long, thank you. I know this one was heavy, but I think these stories matter, not because they're full of explosions or heroes or space marines yelling about honor, but because they show us the cost of everything else. The hidden price paid in blood and silence. The places no one talks about, but that still, somehow, exist. If you liked this, if you want more forgotten horrors and overlooked questions from the galaxy's cruelest empire, then you know what to do. Like the video, leave a comment with your theories. Subscribe to the channel if you haven't already, and remember, if the Administratum ever tells you a planet doesn't exist, maybe that's when you really need to start asking questions. Thanks for watching, and as always, stay grimdark.